It's that man again, Barry Kenny, the corporate communications director of Irish Rail. We're not talking railways, we're talking Romania.
Romania, have you been, George?
Yes.
Right.
Quite okay. A bit.
Of course, the rugby. Yes.
No. I'm involved in a charity there. Mm. As you know, in the Ceausescu regime, All the babies.
Yes,
all those babies are now adults. Yeah. But they're still in these awful sort of camps.
Right, okay.
And we're bringing them out of the camps and living in the community.
Well,
I go to Bucharest.
Yes.
Are you going to talk about Bucharest we'll go taxi to Bucharest. Drivers, are you?
Well, actually, Uber is now in Bucharest, so the taxi driver can be avoided. And, of course, it's one of the many ways in which this is a great value destination. It's great value getting there. We have 15 flights a week, George, to Romania.
From Dublin.
We've got Ryanair and Blue Air. Both of them fly to Bucharest. And Blue Air go to Bacău and Cluj as well, right? And you will regularly get fares for about 27 quid each way. Yes. So
to Romania.
Yeah. And therefore, it's one of the rarest of creatures. Good value to get there. And then when you're there, no need for me to even look at Airbnb, George. I can check in to a hotel of which you would be proud. Somewhere like the Novotel, somewhere like these hotels of a very high standard and, again, very well priced. And then as for going out and seeing the sights, I mean, it is obviously...
Now, I don't want to destroy this magical mystery tour you're about to embark on, but I would never check into a Novotel.
I'm sure you would not.
Let's be clear here. I mean, lest the listeners think that, there's been a change in Hook's travel methods.
Okay, casinos attached. Anyway, look, Bucharest, it's a... kind of a classic Central European city, but mixed with the uglier excesses of communist brutality. And you mentioned Ceausescu. And of course, for me, I suppose, growing up, I remember 1989, the wave of revolutions across Eastern Europe. And I suppose the really dramatic events in December 1989, when the Ceausescus were overthrown, where literally the people and the army turned against him in front of his eyes. And next thing, he was shot in the head on Christmas Day 1989. But his mark is still there, and none more so than in the palace, than in the House of Parliament Palace, which is the largest civilian administration building in the world. There's a claim to fame for you for Bucharest. Only the Pentagon is bigger in administration, full stop. It's a colossal building.
Now, hold on a while.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very interesting and all that, but let's cut to the chase for a minute, right? I found it a very nice place to eat. Yeah. Did you not?
I really did. And I mean, and also a little bit different. It has its own style. It has its own, approach. There's a beautiful restaurant in the old town. We'll talk about the old town now as well. Caro Suber, it's called. And it's a 19th century beer house, and there's wooden panelling inside. It's really, really quite big, and you feel, is it going to be soulless? But actually not at all. It fills up, it gets busy, it gets lively, there's music some evenings, and things like stuffed cabbage leaves with a side of polenta, and of course, all the meats, whatever. This is not a vegetarian-friendly place.
Do you think that it has an Italian flavour to it? Romania or not,
I wouldn't have instinctively.
You're a better traveler.
No, I wouldn't have instinctively thought so. But I mean, what you do have, I mean, a lot of the from the Ottoman Empire days, of course, there's influences from Turkey as well, and from places like that. Very good beers, and the old town actually has a kind of a good value temple bar feel about it.
Yeah.
And this is an area that really fell into dilapidation because, of course, Ceausescu wanted to raise the place as part of his communist modelling of the city, left it fall to rack and ruin, but it's been re-established, I suppose, really probably by the start of this decade. So some of the old churches, like Stavropolis Church, which is their beautiful old Orthodox church, right in the heart, statues of Vlad the Impaler, and we'll come back to Vlad around the place, but loads of these bars. As I say, I mentioned Temple Bar because you can see it being very stag friendly or kind of, weekend away friendly. Bars like the Trinity College, there's always an Irish bar somewhere, and rooftop bars. So I think it's a great spot for a weekend as a result. I mentioned that palace, literally kind of ornate inside museums, Museum of Communist Rule. You were going to say...
Well, I was going to say, you mentioned two other places that the planes were going to besides Bucharest, Cluj and somewhere
else. Yes, but we're going to stick to Bucharest just for a moment.
Are we?
Because I don't want you to miss out on the Kitsch Museum.
Right? Yeah?
It's only open about a year. And it opens at about 11 o'clock at night. So actually, if you come from one of the hostelries, that's probably the best condition. But the Kitsch Museum is basically a collection of communist kitsch, of... religious kitsch and really absolutely gaudy, ridiculous exhibits. For example, a portrait of the Christ with a thermometer where the Sacred Heart should be. This kind of produce. Tributes to communists, what they called wooden language. The parlance of the communist regime where they would ditch out all of these phrases that which didn't really mean anything. You could say that applies to all political persuasions. But it is great fun to wander
all right, around. But the interesting thing, though, probably because I was kind of working there.
Yes.
I've never holidayed sure. there, if you call it the charge thing work, yeah. but I was, is that, and it applies apparently to all these newly liberated countries around Eastern
yes.
Europe, they have a sort of romantic idea about the old communist days.
There is, yeah.
There is a kind of still a communism alive and kicking.
There is. Now, of course, the particular brutality, because this was probably the most violent of yeah. liberations, whatever, is still there. But there is, I suppose, it's not unlike the Brexit thing and it's not unlike the Trump thing. It's an old certainties have been lost.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
exactly.
what they're kind of grasping onto. And of course, you know, fourth largest foreign population in Ireland is Romanian. And that replicates itself right across Europe. So you've had this brain drain and this loss of knowledge and this loss of labour, really.
That all left Romania.
Yeah, exactly. So that's impacting on the economy. Okay. Notwithstanding, of course, they're benefiting from the EU.
What about my regular question every week?
Interesting in terms of, obviously, you've got the kind of that kind of Central European, you know, very striking appearance. And also, of course,
you've got the girls.
We're talking the population and how they appear.
But they
and
then are you got the very yes, attractive.
Absolutely.
Romania,
and of course, you have the Roma population as well. People talk about the Roma being mistreated in Ireland and elsewhere. They're not nowhere are they more mistreated than in Romania itself, a very marginalised community.
Really?
But that's not
why
some, yeah.
I said Italy to you at the beginning.
Right.
When, I mean, I'm sure there are people who think you can sort of look at men and say, but women are striking in a certain way in terms of their hair or the way they wear clothes and so on. And I got a very Italian feel to Romania, like with women. Whereas when you walk down the Champs-Élysées in France,
yes,
you, know,
you know exactly where you are. You wouldn't have to see the buildings.
That's what I mean.
Okay, I can see where you would take that from. Also a nice city for parks, whatever. Probably, you know what I mean, not as striking as a Hyde Park or anything like that, but as a place where people are, where people congregate, socialise, the men playing chess in the parks. You know,
I drank
really
a lot of beer there.
Yeah, you would.
Here's one for you now before you go anywhere else. Mm. We were taken out to dinner one night, right, by the Romanians.
Yes.
And they went to Bulgaria. Bulgaria's going down the road
well. Absolutely.
Because they said the food was better and cheaper.
Right.
I couldn't get the cheaper.
Bulgaria is, yeah. And of course, you know, you have other countries in that area that are cheaper, but I mean, it is still extraordinary.
We went down
good
like it was literally. Yeah. Now, I think it might have been 45 minutes to an hour.
Right, yeah.
To Bulgaria.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, these are part of the European Union. I just don't think we get in there enough and we explore them enough because there's loads of these. And I think it's, you know, Bucharest has what it has, but I think the rest of the country offers an awful lot in terms of an active break, in terms of really quite impressive towns. Now, Vlad the Impaler, of course.
Before
right?
you get to Vlad,
yes.
I'm sorry, I do this all the time.
That's
people
all right.
are kidding.
It's your
screaming.
Show, George.
No,
right.
no, but they're screaming at the radio, let Barry speak. Because I mentioned Bulgaria.
Yes.
All these countries used to have kings.
Yes, yeah.
I think it was Peter in Romania, I think it was.
Well, one area of Romania that didn't have a king, which is again in my cultural references from my childhood, Moldavia is a part of Romania. And of course, Dynasty had an infamous episode, the Moldavian Wedding Massacre, where the mythical prince of Moldavia was marrying one of the main characters in Dynasty. And if you ever saw that part, that episode of that show would stick with you.
Vlad the Impaler,
Romanian hero. Three times in the 15th century, he was a prince of Wallachia and notorious for his barbarity and cruelty through the armies he fought and vanquished. Now, Vlad Dracul was his father, Vlad of the Dragons. But of course, that means the name was taken by Bram Stoker, Clontarf's own,
For
Dracula. Though there is no reason to believe that anything vampiric was going on with Vlad the Impaler at all, although, of course, a spot of impaling here and there he was into.
I always thought that, because Dracula was a fictional character,
yes.
I always thought for Transylvania was fictional, but it isn't.
No, Transylvania is not, and it is a beautiful, beautiful yeah. part of Romania. Brașov and Sighișoara are a couple of towns now that I would mention. They're part of a network.
Sorry, pronounce the second name again.
Sighișoara or Sighișoara is the second.
S-I,
no, you're thinking of Timișoara, which was involved in the revolution, where there was actually, I think, a massacre there. But these towns are two of seven walled citadels in the populated by the Saxons of Transylvania, right? So you still have these walls and absolutely beautiful towns, the Carpathian Mountains right around them, beautiful ornate squares, little back streets, lovely places for Christmas markets, by the way, as well. And for, be it summer or winter, outdoor activities. So Brașov now has a very popular ski resort right next to it that people travel up to. But what it does have is Bran Castle. And Bran Castle has effectively been appropriated by the Dracula legend, even though, again, it is absolutely nothing to do with it. But it's a national monument now, and people go up there specifically for Dracula tours.
Yeah.
And it appears like this eerie, the image, I suppose, that Bram Stoker created of what a castle should look like. This is what is now reflected by the Romanian tourism.
Hold a minute here, kiddo. Romania doesn't have any beaches now, Anton. Romania
We have Black Sea now, don't forget. So you do have resorts there. You do have resorts there as well. But what I do want to bring you is I want to bring you to the hills above Brașov, George, to go bear watching.
Bears,
yes, wild bears. Romania's forests support the largest concentration of brown bears. There's 5,000 of them, 3,000 wolves, and 2,000 lynxes, right? So this is now last frontier stuff in a European scale. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, where he's out and he's being attacked by bears. The only place in Europe you'll find that is up in Romania. Not the case. The bears really need more protection from us than we do from them, but you can go off on tours from Brașov in the evening, where you go to hideouts and they lay food out to attract the bears, and you can get your photography and into bear hides, as it were. And if you're very, very lucky, some of the other wildlife will come along
now,
as well.
Now, I've stuck up a very special Barry Kenny telephone line, which is 1890-453-108. So if you want to ring up and complain about Barry or say places you'd like him to cover or whatever, you can telephone or tell us your Romanian experiences, or of course email saturdaysitin@newstalk.com. Now, hold on a while, I drag you back.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to fly to Cluj or some other place.
Yeah, but they are more, I think, kind of, you know, hubs to move around. I would say kind of it is that Transylvania area, if you're going to balance off, that is the appeal.
You can't go to Romania and not go to Bucharest, isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really has come on from what it was. Now, if you are going up to Cluj, you're going to look at somewhere like Maramures, kind of a student town, the villages around it, again, a really kind of preserved old way of life and a more agrarian way of life that is hard to find in modern Europe. And as I say, kind of a €65 flight away.
Yeah, well, you're heading off now for your lunch, but cooked by the lovely Frankie. Yeah. Is the lovely Frankie, Mrs. Kenny, like wandering around after you dutifully, like as you're going into all these castles and all that stuff?
I have to say, really liked it. Absolutely.
Did you?
Very much enjoyed it.
It's got the Mrs. Kenny seal of approval.
I mean, like, if you want your shopping, there are modern shopping malls in the big cities and all of that. But as I say, you have this access to a kind of an older way of life. So you go up again to Moldavia, as I mentioned, the painted monasteries up there, the wooden monasteries in rural towns, and then the Danube Delta, where, you know, after the Danube passing through, everywhere it does, this beautiful heritage area where if you want bird watching, if you want solitude, it's all there. I think there's quite a lot in a country we don't think of, and maybe we should think of a bit
all
more.
All right. You haven't mentioned one single hotel that I'd want to stay in. All right, he'll be back next week.